you sell what you don't own. Our forests and our homes, how can you put a price tag on what we have left?
That's the Attic Girls with What We Have Left, and that leads us into our Northern Pass discussion for today here on Bulldog Live on The Pulse. And one of the Attic Girls is joining us here on Bulldog Live, Jan Marvel, who they have Indian Stream Productions also that's coming out with a brand new documentary and the very first documentary on Northern Pass hitting movie theaters this week. And Jan, welcome to Bulldog Live.
Well, good morning, Bulldog.
Good morning to you. Wow, it's been a long time coming, hasn't it,
movie? Yes, it has.
Let's talk about it. What's the name of it?
The name of it is Northern Trespass.
All right. Now, how did you come up with that name?
Well, it kind of speaks for itself. It's an unwanted project. At least 30 towns or 32 towns along the proposed route have voted against it. Basically, thousands and thousands of people have come out in strong opposition against it. It's an unnecessary project. It's a project built basically completely constructed on greed. It would cause a lot of damage in many different ways. So, therefore, it is completely taken to us as a trespass.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and that's very good because as I'm actually formulating a newspaper column right now in trying to respond to some of the more recent claims by people supporting Northern Pass, I said that we, the folks of New Hampshire, will not allow Northern Pass to trespass on our state. So I kind of was inspired by the title of your documentary.
Thank you.
Now, for 2 years you've been working on this, right?
Yes, yes, definitely. It's taken we would have worked on it earlier if we thought that, you know, there was going to be a need for it. We didn't expect to actually become filmmakers, but we found the need was there. You know, the need was there, and people in the opposition, generally speaking, don't have deep pockets. Certainly no one has the pockets of Hydro-Québec,
mm-hmm.
And so we decided to take it on.
And video production is certainly no small task, is it?
My goodness. I can only tell you the learning curve was interesting. The photography part of it, you know, we definitely improved pretty quickly, I would say. I used to fool around, you know, way back in the day with my little camera quite a few times. Plus, I am an artist, and I did think that those things would help me, and they did. So visually, I thought that that was more doable. The editing was a beast, of course, because, you know, we would go somewhere, and, I mean, we were in New London, Connecticut, with Michael Cristofaro, who lost two homes to eminent domain, including the Kelo case.
Right.
We had maybe 45 to 50 minutes solid of him that was just riveting. We have to take that down to maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes. That's where the real tough stuff is, because it's all good, you know?
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I imagine you've talked with people from all across New Hampshire, covering meetings and that kind of stuff, right?
We did. We really tried to get the topics all covered to a more or less degree, and at the same time, you know, show what's happening in Canada, at least from the point of view of people who would be harmed, whose farms would be basically ruined. They want to put these very, very dangerous EMF towers right over dairy farms. I mean, you know, when that happens, the cows are affected by the frequencies, and there's a lot of reasons why we oppose this. And we have a lot of footage from Canada. We have a lot of footage from, you know, all over New Hampshire, obviously, footage from Vermont. It's all really good stuff. The editing was something that was, fortunately, I have a person on my team, Michelle Vaughn, who's the co-producer, who took on editing, you know, just got the books and just sat there and learned all the software. And, you know, she did a great job with the editing, as you'll see.
Yeah. Jan Marvel joining us here on Bulldog Live from Indian Stream Productions, which that is a name in and of itself, too.
Thank you. well, it's a hats off, really, to John Amy and the people up there. you know, at the top of the state where Indian's Dream actually is. And in the beginning of the movie, we have our little, you know, when we have our title come up, Indian's Dream Productions, and you'll see water. That is Indian's Dream, and it's right near the Amy farm. And so it was really a tip of the hat to John and Cindy Lou Amy to do that, because we felt that, you know, there was that history, and it really, you know, the battle's kind of starting up there where they're trying, they've been trying now for, you know, 3 years basically to find a route that will work. Trying to buy their way through is, of course, the last thing, since they, eminent domain became something that they were certainly hoping to use and now can't use for a frivolous, unnecessary project.
Exactly.
And I would also like to just quickly, if I could, Brian, touch on people who have been asking you, people who are supporting it. The people who are supporting it really, really need to understand that the state could, if it did have to go through, the state could benefit greatly in tax revenue if the lines were buried along public rights of way. So, you know, if they're crying because, you know, they want tax revenue, if that's the argument, because there really isn't any other argument I can think of that makes any sense, then burying it along, you know, the state rights of way, old railroad beds, et cetera, gives the state the rent money.
Sure, so, and this has been studied by our legislature. There's another study going on right now regarding that. State Representative Larry Rappaport chairing a subcommittee that's looking into this right now. And, you know, we've heard the claims by the folks from Northern Pass that this will bring in $25 million in tax revenue. Now they're trying to say it's $28 million, but their $25 million figure was blown apart real quick under any sense of scrutiny. Deerfield proved that to be a disaster. Long cross-examination in the New Hampshire legislature, and I have the audio from February of 2011 from the Northern Pass chief economist who started buckling under the simple question of, did you take into account view sheds and the values lost through view shed impacts? Oh, no, we didn't. So, I mean, really, it's incredible stuff when you start breaking that down, but at least if you bury it on a state-owned right-of-way, that's a fixed lease amount that is not subject to anybody else's interpretation, not subject to devaluation and depreciation that utility companies have a long history of engaging in.
Well, I live in the White Mountains. I mean, I live in an area that is completely tourist-driven.
Mm-hmm.
If tourism falls off, I mean, everyone up here, everyone, it trickles down. Everyone's affected. And, you know, where you'd be driving up around, I'd say probably around Ashland, you'd start to really see them, you know, Plymouth, but and particularly when you get to around Campton, you know, Thornton, you know, Woodstock, it would be just, it would look like New Jersey, basically. And I just want to say also that although, you know, we don't touch on, we touch on basically all of the topics. But we also show some real people. We spent a lot of time with some real people to show how people who are just trying to get by, trying to make a living up here and be, you know, north of here, et cetera, how they would really be affected. And I really think that people who think this whole thing is a good idea just need to see the film. I really believe that if they saw the film, it would really shed some light on a lot of the different topics, including what has happened in Quebec. What Hydro-Quebec has done is shameful according to all environmental standards. They've increased, you know, climate change and global warming with their vast, you know, hydro dams that do nothing but sit still and collect heat. They've, you know, poisoned the Cree Nation. Now, people down here may be like, you know, there's just a bunch of Indians up there. I don't know what they're thinking, because if they see what happens to those poor people who live off the land, I mean, it's shameful. And, you know, for money, of course. You know, there's a movie, I think it's called I Am Fish Head, that I strongly recommend. You can see it for free on Top Documentaries Online, I Am Fish Head. And it talks about these psychopathic, sociopathic, you know, corporations, and that's what they are. They just have no concern whatsoever for people, for animals, for the environment, nothing. It's all money. And I really encourage people to come and see the film. It will be shown in other theaters for sure. We have a couple lined up, but we can't talk about it. It's top secret. Because obviously we want people to come to the premiere. It's going to be very special.
Yeah, and the premiere is going to be in Plymouth at the Flying Monkey Movie House.
That seems appropriate. It's pretty much the epicenter of New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Actually, I think it's the geographic center of New Hampshire.
I think it actually is. That's why we thought, well, not only that, but I have to admit that the Flying Monkey, when they knew we were making a documentary, asked us in the very beginning. They had so much faith in us that they asked us if we would have our premiere there. So, of course, we would then have to honor that request. But yeah. It is. So it's a great location.
It is. I've been to a few events there, so make the trek to the Flying Monkey Movie House in Plymouth, and admission is just $7. And when do the doors open, Jan? On what day?
Well, the doors open this Wednesday evening at 6:00. The buzz will begin, and there will be even some free munchies, courtesy of the Common Man family who owns the Flying Monkey.
Cool.
There will be other, you know, little surprises here and there, but it's going to be the one and only world premiere, so it's very special. And people will definitely, if they don't really know the subject, there are people who are saying, you know, I don't know that much about it. I think I should go. And that's the point. If you want to know more about why people are so upset, it's not just, oh, we're just a bunch of hicks, although maybe we are. But, I mean, I crawl around in the grass. I'm a country girl, but you know what? You know, I'm still a real person, and all of the people that would be affected are real people. There are so many people who, you know, like anyone, your life's investment is your home.
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel? Ask yourself, how would you feel if this was going next to your house? Because there are people who can't sleep at night, who have gotten physically sick over this, and it's really a shame that it continues on as the bullying corporations keep threatening. In fact, as we know now, there's been a new RUDE announcement. I should say it's a RUDE announcement, because it's pretty rude when you say to, you know, you go into a locked warehouse to make an announcement. Why would you do that if it's such great news? To say, by the way, we're going to through a road in Stewartston and Colebrook, and the people of Stewartston and Colebrook have not been told, let alone asked. So that was
the first
with.
Thing I found out the day they announced the route. I called the Stewartstown town clerk and asked her. I said, has anybody gotten in touch with you to talk about? Nope. Nobody's talked to us. Oh, really? Isn't that interesting?
So, you know, people who think it's a good idea, they really need to just soul search, you know, before they see the movie, because that'll completely convince them. But until then, at least think about, how would you feel if someone told you, we're doing this to your town, we're doing this next to your house, and
yep.
You find out because it shows up in the paper? I mean, how would you feel? You don't know until it happens to you, but I can tell you, you'll see how people feel in the movie Northern Trespass.
Northern Trespass, Wednesday. The showtime is 7 p.m. Doors open at 6 at the Flying Monkey in Plymouth, and it's right on Main Street, so right from the downtown area. It's very easy to get to. If you're taking Interstate 93, you can get off at exit 25 and just head right on into downtown, and it's not far away. It's real easy to get to. I got to tell you, Jan, I know I've seen you at a lot of events. People have seen your bumper sticker or the magnets that Atta Girls make. Probably the most popular ones is the Stop the Northern Pass magnets that go across the back of vehicles. And lately, I just got one of these a couple weeks ago when we were at the Easton meeting, the one that tells Hydro-Quebec to scram and is written in French.
Yeah, that's who knows? I mean, that could come out of this area, too. I mean, but I'll tell you, that's taking a lot of different forms. And because, actually, I mean, look at you have to go to the head of the beast. And even though Northeast Utilities and PSNH have, I mean, as a subsidiary of Northeast Utilities, have been pretty shameless in this whole thing, let's face it. I mean, it's a Hydro-Quebec based plan. That's where the power would come from. And once again, I mean, they have destroyed, I mean, completely, they have destroyed so much of Quebec's wilderness, their rivers, you know, not everyone up there is all warm and fuzzy about Hydro-Québec. I mean, in the beginning of time, they were, because they finally could turn their light bulbs on. And let's face it, we all love electricity. We depend on it. There's just smarter ways. And New Hampshire right now needs to step up and, you know, think about, why is everyone targeting New Hampshire? You know, instead of maybe trying something else, it's because they want to go quick and cheap and they think that we're too stupid. That's really what's going on here.
Well, I think they found out there's a lot of smart people, including yourself, out there. And I do wonder, and this is, I'll never know the answer to this, but I'm just going to ask the question. Did the timing of the new route announcement have anything to do with your documentary coming out?
You know, honestly, I had no idea what the announcement was going to happen. And we've been editing all along. When we get pieces, we'd edit them down, and we would sort of, you know, you kind of keep them in like a folder. And this, I would say this spring has been just really, really intense to finish. So that was before we knew anything like that was going to happen. But, however, I do think that you are onto something. I do think the timing of the movie coming out is really perfect.
Yeah, because after yours, there's another one that's in the works that could be coming out this winter as well. So,
I just want to, can I just mention, too, about technology just for a second?
Yeah, sure.
Well, look, at the first hydroelectric dam, it was in the 1800s. And, you know, the most massive, I think, in its day was in the early 1900s, around 1920-ish, 30-ish, the Grand Coulee Dam out in Washington State, where that was the first really massive dam that had a lot of controversy, because even then people did need the power. But even still, once they plugged up that river, the native people that in the tribes north of there, they couldn't use, you know, they couldn't live, basically. They started, you know, they had to leave, they died off. It changed their world. And, okay, at that time, what else are you going to do? I don't know. But at this time, we're talking about, do you take your smartphone and drive down the road in your Model T? I mean, something's wrong with this picture. This technology is so outdated. You know, like everything else, technology has allowed electricity to be transported smaller, like computers have gotten so much smaller. You know, they started out, I know a man, David Eckline, he lives out in Rumney, he invented one of the first computers, and it was, I don't know how many feet high it was, it was over 10 feet tall, maybe 17. Seriously, a computer, a simple computer. And now look at a smartphone, what it can do.
Yeah.
It's the same thing for the transmission lines. I mean, it's the same thing. The technology is such that you only have to dig a few feet under the ground, and the area that it would take to bury lines such as these would be maybe 6 feet by 6 feet, just a few feet under the ground. So,
yeah, versus 155-foot tall towers that Northern Pass is proposing with this new route announcement, and even more towers, no less. And then 150-foot wide right-of-ways that they need for these towers, whereas if you underground it, you may need 12 or 15 feet.
6 feet. 6 feet Six for the feet. Actual line. I mean, if you can, because we, actually, my team actually called a person who was in the field, it was retired, but he was in the field of line burial. And he was saying, oh, you know, of course it can be done, and this is how much, you know, this is what it takes, this is what it costs. It's very doable. But if the lines were buried, then PSNH cannot get the rent money, and this is what the whole thing really is all about.
That's what I suspect it is.
And again, of course, Connecticut wants to increase their, you know, renewable portfolio by deciding. They decided, now New Hampshire decided that Hydro-Québec and those the large-scale hydro dams were not renewable. But Connecticut somehow miraculously decided that, hey, they are. Because why? We don't want to do anything ugly here. Let's do ugly in New Hampshire. And
that's
then we
right.
don't have to do ugly here. And that is actually what's going on. So if people think this is a good idea, they're being duped.
Come
to the film and meet the people. See the people that you wouldn't otherwise meet and know how it would damage them. And if you care, you won't like the Northern Pass.
There you go. Jan Marvel from Indian Stream Productions. Again, Wednesday, 7 p.m., Flying Monkey in Plymouth, the world
Free
premiere.
Monkey. if for no other reason, that's all it takes to get you in the door.
Yeah, there you go. The world premiere, Northern Trespass, coming out Wednesday, 7 p.m. Doors open at 6. Jan, pleasure to chat with you. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right, take care. We'll see you on Wednesday.
All right.
All righty. Yeah. Bulldog Live continues. I am your host, Bulldog Brian Tilton on the Pulse.